Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Talking Junk. We're back from vacation. I still look a little busted, but it's all right. I'll get it together by tomorrow. How's everybody doing tonight?
You know, man, could complain, not going to complain. Not on live.
We'll save that for the Patreon. Oh, forget Patreon. We just hit 1,000 followers on TikTok, so we will be going live pretty soon. Yes. Word. Thank God. It's been a long ride.
Good news.
Man, it's sent me down a big rabbit hole of TikTok. But speaking of rabbit holes, our guest here tonight is here to talk about a couple of those.
Oh, excuse me.
It's all right. You can go ahead. I'm going to bring on my man, Stefan. How you doing tonight, Stefan?
Hey, brother. What's up? What's going on?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Just coming back from vacation. Glad you can grace us with your presence for our first episode back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell the Junkers a little bit about yourself while we wait for Tyler to get back?
All right. Well, I am a avid ancient astronaut theorist. I have been on this spiritual awakening journey for at least the past 10 years. The past 3 to 4 years of it has actually been perpetuated by my use of plant medicines. Everything from ayahuasca to Peruvian cactus torch to combo, which is a frog poison, and these things have heightened my awareness exponentially. Man, it's sometimes I feel like it's a blessing and a curse. To be honest, you know what I mean?
So, frog poison, huh?
Yeah, it's called combo. So actually, as you can see, is right here. I don't know if you can see that little dot.
Yeah, I see it.
So what they do is they burn a hole in your skin with this special tool, and then they scrape the coagulated poison off of the frog's back, and then they mash it into the hole, and it completely opens your sinuses, your lymphatic system, your endocrine system, cleans it all out, while at the same time raising your blood pressure and the thermogenesis of your blood pressure at the same time. And that's just the beginning of the ceremony, because that combo, the frog poison, actually opens you up energetically, as well as in your lymphatic system, and it allows the other medicines that are going to be synergistically met with them together while the process is taking place. So it's just, everything is just a piggyback off of each different medicine that you're taking. So it's made me like extremely aware of what's going on around me. And I've already been, you know, researching and looking through, you know, what's been going on with the government and the extraterrestrial influence behind the government and things of that nature. I've already been into all that. But like I said, the psychedelics has opened the floodgates of epiphanies and like just clarity, intuitive discernment based on what I've been learning so far.
The psychedelics do tend to open up your mind to the things that you've heard or the things that you conspirize about. I've had magic mushrooms before, and it definitely does that.
I dose on them regularly, man. That's my antidepressants. I take psilocybin twice a day, once in the morning and then once either prior or post meditative state, just depending on how I'm feeling.
And how much are you microdosing?
0.2 milligrams is in each capsule. Two of them at the same time will put you in a very fuzzy, warm, heightened awareness type of state. Three of them will start to produce visuals. Four of them will produce visuals and a euphoric feeling. Five of them, you're going to be twisted off of five. You know, it's very rarely. It just depends on, you know, how I'm feeling, man. You know, where I go with it. Absolutely.
Now, is this coming off of the new legalization out there in California?
It's not necessarily legal unless you hold a card, a special card. It's called a oratory of sacraments. You get a card from them, and it basically makes it, you know, prescribable to you from an actual shaman. That's the only way to get around it, the whole legalities. But in Colorado, it's plenty. It's all been, you know, it's they're follow. California will follow suit eventually, but Colorado right now and Arizona, I believe, are the only two right now. They're, you know, it's a medicinal purposes. It's legalized.
Knowing California, though, it'll still be a local residential type of thing. You can have it 30 feet over here, but you come in here, we'll take you to jail. Because
exactly,
we see how well that marijuana worked out here. So, yeah.
Only or if you know if you're on a reservation and things like that, you're pretty much, you're grandfathered into the legality of it.
Mm. How did you come upon this journey?
I sustained a gunshot wound in 2002. I ended up getting shot. During my surgeries and, you know, recovery, I ended up becoming addicted to pain pills. And in Florida, when the pill mills were aplenty, I ended up, I lost myself to opiates, man. So being that I was an athlete, you know, cause I've done mixed martial arts and boxing and, different art forms for years, and I wasn't able to perform at my normal level. I'm sluggish. I mean, basically borderline retarded, for Christ's sake, you know what I mean? So
of many disciplines, that's very rare.
Mm-hmm. So what I did was I just said to hell with it. I locked myself in the bedroom for 2 to 3 weeks, started to detox. But it was more of the fact that I was in solitude and then the tools that I was using in order to perpetuate my recovery is what made the synergistic effect, profound. That's when I first started to realize, you ever heard of binaural tones?
Yes. I use them to go to bed every night.
Oh, awesome. So, yeah. So I was knee deep in binaural tones, Tibetan singing bowls. And then also during that time, this is when I was first introduced to ayahuasca. I actually ordered some off of eBay, had no idea that it was the real deal. And it was real. It came into like a little ball of resin, and they just told you to put it in water and just heat it up and, you know, stir it up and it'll dissolve. Not knowing that it was an actual heroic dose that I was taking. I just thought it was just one dose, but it was actually three doses, what they call.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was gone, dude, for a good 7 or 8 hours.
It's tripping balls.
Tripping balls, bro. And then I just, the most profound epiphanies and recollections of past lives and all these things start taking place. Like all my ancestors are standing around me as clear as day. Like people I had no idea, hundreds of them, bro. To this day, the recollection of it is like, it's like flash froze right in my brain. Like when I think about it, I see it as if I was there again. Like that's how deep and mystical of an experience it was. So from there, I started to realize that I had gifts, special supernatural gifts that were lying dormant in me for years that I had no idea that I was able to utilize. One of them being clairaudience. Whenever I eat high vibrational foods, or if I'm around in a ceremony or church, somewhere where there's a lot of positive, flowing, high frequency, high vibrational energy around, my ears ring like a freaking mortar went off freaking three yards from me. You know what I mean? It's like my ears just go into this crazy ring. And then I started to tap into these rings and I'm able to distinguish the difference of frequencies based on whatever incantation of, because I do, I also practice a bit of Wicca. So whatever incantation I'm using, or if I'm also channeling high dimension or multidimensional beings from a high vibrational source, the ringing heightens in my ears as well. So I'm able to distinguish between the sounds, and I can figure out, literally, I know it sounds crazy, but whichever archangel is there with me at that point in time, prior to a ceremony or prior to me actually, you know, ingesting psilocybin at a large dose, I can conjure or channel these beings, and I'm getting better and better at it every single day, honestly. So what actually led me to, you know, my mission of everything was the fact that I read one book and it changed my entire life. It's by Jim Mars. It's called The $1 trillion Conspiracy. Dude, this book is so profoundly eye-opening to what's going on around us. The entire upper echelon, or the Illuminati, the cabal, men in the shadows, whatever you want to call them, they are all conjoined within the five superpower families. These five superpower families are directly in lineage to an extraterrestrial entity off-world that controls the world from a distance while remaining completely enshrouded. And this also, this same extraterrestrial force has infiltrated Christianity and made the Roman Catholic Church who they are today. These evil, despicable beings that are, you know, responsible for 50% or more of the missing children in the world. It's all based on the fact that these people were infiltrated.
God damn you, Wayfair.
What?
God damn you, Wayfair. So it was a whole conspiracy that they were the ones trafficking children.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was definitely not a conspiracy. They got caught. It's just a huge operation. Sorry to jump back like that, but that you fine. Sell $15,000 IKEA furniture named Sharon. Okay, that doesn't.
That's so weird, right? Yeah, but yeah. So you know, I started to research all these things, and then also I started to channel, asking questions just for to connect the dots where I wasn't able to connect the dots from a purely 3D realm of 3D understanding, you know what I mean? So I began to, you know, just pick apart all the information that we see on a daily basis. And I've come to realize that we are being lied to on a regular basis every single day. The information that we're being digressed is 100% distorted and created for the sole purpose of disorienting our souls and keeping us in a perpetual state of fear, so they can continue to hoard the negative energy that we are dispelling on a regular basis as a collective. They feed off of that, while also at the same time keeping us on this perpetual hamster wheel, which is keeping these five superpower families in power, on a regular, you know, just the entire United Nations itself, the 193 nations that it's comprised of are all being controlled by an off-world governing body, which we call, you can call it the Galactic Federation if you like, you know what I mean?
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely knew the Galactic Federation lives. And I was called stupid a couple times for it.
But. Yeah, it's clear, man. The entire solar system is comprised of multiple extraterrestrial factions that one of them uses Saturn. And some of this information, guys, I'm going to be able to corroborate as we go based on I have some CIA contacts, whistleblowers. Two of them happen to be in the hospice that I used to work at as a CNA. You know, I don't believe in coincidence. I ran into these guys and they gave me a plethora of information to share. One of them, one guy in particular, I promised him that I would wait until he passed before I opened up the floodgates of truths that I've have. But half of this information comes from him. The rest is from my researching and cross-referencing. But yes, the entire solar system is teeming with life. There's one particular extraterrestrial faction called the Arcturians that are literally hiding. Well, they're not hiding because if they were out in the open, no one could really see them anyway because they're multidimensional, interdimensional. But they use Saturn as a fuel source. There are certain times of the year that the planet itself, it changes color. There's a lot of things that happen on an energy and vibrational level on that planet that is unexplained. But NASA knows, they're just full of shit, you know what I mean? But they use Saturn's, there's certain chemicals or certain components of Saturn's atmosphere that they use as a fuel source to power their mothership, which is right behind Saturn. We also have a faction of Anunnaki that's just on the outskirts of the Van Halen belt, or the, you know, the asteroid belt, that basically was put to keep us within the solar system, just in case we got ballsy like they did, you know, thousands of years ago with the Tower of Babylon. You know, people don't realize that story was completely convoluted and picked apart by the Roman Catholic Church. Excuse me. The Tower of Babylon was actually multiple nations getting together and trying to create a rocket ship to provoke the skies as the gods did. And this is information that you can pull out of off of cuneiform tablets if you were able to decipher and translate. It says it specifically in the stone tablets that these beings, the Anunnaki, came from, that's exactly what Anunnaki means, from those from the heavens came to Earth. It tells the stories of them seeding them with information, showing them how to grow, agriculture, horticulture, the whole nine yards. They were the first for everything. You know, the Sumerians, they were the first for everything. But they don't tell you this in the textbooks because they don't want you to go down that rabbit hole. But that's the whole case, is the fact that we're being lied to and programmed. For example, the public school system was created by the Masons. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a program. You're being programmed with bullshit and just kept to be and made to be kept on this perpetual hamster wheel. So we don't worry.
That's about why the encyclopedias were changed, because there was too much information back in the 40s and 50s in those.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Britannicas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Bible, too, man. You know, they friggin' misrepresented so much information in the Bible, too. It's just, it's a big clusterfuck, man.
Now, when you said
do more research, the Bible actually doesn't hide anything. It's really more so the lens that they force you to look at it through that makes it seem so misguided. But once you really kind of step out and begin to accept the possibility of things outside of the rhetoric you were told, the Bible actually still remains pretty coherent.
Absolutely. You know? In all due respects, the Bible was written to instill a moral compass within us all. But at the same time, there are about 20 books were removed from the Bible per the Roman Catholic Church, or Rome.
The Book of Enoch.
that specifically tells us about the fact that there were extraterrestrials coming to this planet back and forth, that talk about reincarnation and things of that nature, and they removed that from the Bible as well. You know, Constantine changed the freaking Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. You know what I mean? It was just all political structure based on power, the sole purpose of control. You know, there are multiple historical facts within the Bible. There's nothing in it that I could say is false, but misrepresented, yes. Convoluted, yes. Diluted, yes. And, you know, that's what the whole aspect of that is.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say you channel some of these extraterrestrials, do you know which factions you're channeling in? Have they really been in contact, or do you just kind of get frequencies?
Well, it isn't extraterrestrial factions. It's actual the angelic realm is what I'm channeling. But the information that I receive from them is about the extraterrestrial factions. Or if I've already obtained the information, I seek the understanding from the angelic realm in order to process and digest the information that I received, because sometimes, you know, it's hard for me to be able to filter it. So that's how I, in a sense, filter some of the information that I receive, is through the angelic realm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard a lot of instances where people would say, if you get an idea in your head, you have about 3 days to act on it before it reaches somebody else, and they have the same amount of time to act on it. Would that be considered the angelic realm?
Yes, but also more so, you would consider that it's what's called the Akashic record. The Akashic record is basically a compilation of every thought, every deed, every...
It's basically a database of the universe.
Exactly. And that is basically what the web is they made a synthetic Akashic record. So when you look at the Akashic record as for what it is and how we're able to tap into it, yes, it's a database where you can draw information from it. So when you put it out there, when that thought is put out there, it's up for grabs for most part. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Akashic records in your visuals?
Yes and no. It's almost like I'm seeing impressions of them in the form of kaleidoscopes and colors. And then also my ancestors and some of the angelic beings that I've seen are also in the form of, like, they come out of geometric patterns and shapes. And the moment that I dwell on the fact, like, oh my God, I'm seeing this, they break apart again. So it's like you have to keep your composure and not be in too much of a shock and awe. Otherwise, you'll lose the whole entire message that you're trying to receive. Ooh. So it's that alone is what sometimes I meditate to do, is in order to gain the strength to remain in these trances longer, in order to receive the information I'm supposed to receive. That's probably one of my hardest things that I'm learning now. And that's what Tibetan monks are doing. That's why they're able to levitate, bend things with their mind and all this, because they're drawing from this same angelic realm, the energy that's within us all. And literally, you know,
now when you first started doing all of this, did any of it weird you out a little bit?
The dreams that I would have started to freak me out. And then a lot of the times, once I really started getting coherent of my soul connection and to these other beings, I would astral project involuntarily and find myself outside of my body. And it was hard to deal with. It was really hard to deal with because the sleep paralysis, it's a busy man right there. The sleep patterns were always thrown off for me, because I would have sleep paralysis, and then I would fight it, and then I would wake up outside of my body, and then the shock of being outside of my body would suck me right back into my body again. So it was really hard for me to learn how to astral project at will, because I was always afraid of it, because in the beginning it was happening involuntarily, so it kind of produced a bit of anxiety in me. So in the beginning, yeah, it was definitely hard. It was hard to digest, for sure.
Now, for somebody that wants to start trying to astral project, what would you tell them to start as their base?
The very first thing that you want to do is, in order to harness the power, you have to meditate. Okay, you can do it on a fluke. You know what I mean? You can do it, like I said, involuntarily, and it only lasts a few seconds. You know what I mean? Because you're not recognizing what's going on. But in order to produce the environment for you to do so, meditation is important. And then once you've mastered meditation for at least a few months, what you're doing is you put yourself in a relaxed state, and you're literally programming yourself within your own mind. You're telling yourself, I choose to astral project. I choose to remove myself from my body, but being unable to break the tether that attaches my soul to my body. That tether is basically like, you know, your spiritual umbilical cord that keeps you, you know, from losing your body. So the more you are able to meditate and wrap your head around that, the longer and more untangled that spiritual umbilical cord becomes. So you've got people who are actually able to go visit their friends and loved ones, fly right into their windows, tell them exactly what they were wearing. Like, you know, it gets real, dude. You got people who go and astral project and go to their family's graves and stuff like that. There's a woman in there in Kansas. She wasn't able to make the funeral, but she astral projected to the funeral. She was from in Kansas, but she's from New Orleans. So she has that already in her, you know what I mean? It's kind of like an inherent attribute she's already had. So she was able to tell them exactly what the flower arrangements looked like, where her grandmother and everybody was standing, and people were blown because it was, you know, she wasn't there. She was in friggin' New Orleans. The funeral was going on in Kansas, you know, real time. And she came out of it, you know what I mean? So it's real. It's a real thing. You know what I mean? They teach it. Friggin' CIA teaches their freaking operatives how to astral project, how to use DMT, how to use DMT and other psychedelics in order to achieve superhuman understanding and things of that nature. And then they also use it as a form of breaking down their hostage or whatever, whoever their target is. They use that in order to, you know, break down their thought processes to make them pretty much, it's like a truth serum, you know? So it has its advances that they use it for in the military, as well as the you know, Department of Defense, the whole nine yards. They are well aware of psychedelics and the multiple uses, you know, good or to the detriment of human.
Where do you stand on the hollow earth theory?
Hollow earth is real. Hollow Earth
Hollow Earth outdoes flat Earth so much. There's so much more logic with it. It's ridiculous.
First of all, you can right now see bits of Hollow Earth. If you go to Antarctica, if you were allowed to go to Antarctica, you would see the multiple cave systems that go on for 5 to 7 miles to where it's an actual ecosystem under a mile and a half of ice. And you've got an ecosystem where it's at a perpetual state of about 75 to 80 degrees. You've got beautiful, lush landscape, like looks like the Garden of Eden, with flowing rivers, cold water, warm water, the whole nine yards. And it's all there in Antarctica. These same cave systems are also attached to the dumbs, or the deep underground military bases that the military uses. And they've got about almost 3,400 miles in every which way and direction. They got stopping points and things of that nature. They're all connected to this hollow earth. There are factions of extraterrestrials that are working hand in hand with humans underground as we speak. It's been going on since the 40s. I don't know if you've
heard. I know a lot of theorists speculate that the pyramids are connected to these underground caverns.
Of course. You got to understand something. Every single major ancient structure is on what we call ley lines. So ley lines are integrated areas. It's like kind of like circuit. If you look at the planet, it's on a grid, like a circuit board grid. Wherever those lines crisscross is an energy meridian of the planet. So each one of those major these large structures.
Huh? Don't mind me. I'm answering the comments on the bottom.
No, you're fine. Yeah, these large structures are all connected in one form of another, and they are basically like giving the planet acupuncture in a way. But also at the same time, yes, they're connected to the underground cave systems as well. Mm-hmm. Underneath the Sphinx, there is an area that nobody has got to. It's a theory, but we pretty much know it's there with the deep penetrating ground radar that they have. There are certain areas under the Sphinx that they're seeing that there's technological tools that have been hidden under there. So when the extraterrestrials come back, they can start their freaking whole organization back right up again, you know, and channel information and energy off of the planet, off world, to wherever they're sending it to.
Yes, VPXM, frequency acupuncture.
Yeah, I've always been enraptured by the Hollow Earth theory, more so than Flat Earth, because I feel like Flat Earth, honestly, the way it's pushed and the way that Hollow Earth seems to have been obscured, honestly makes it seem much faker to me, especially since a lot of things I've pointed out in Flat Earth theory, you can actually just point out as components of Hollow Earth, which makes a lot more sense to me. I don't believe that space is not real. I do believe that maybe our access to space isn't real as we know it. Our ability to do and go to space, that, yeah, sure. But space is there. Space is there. I just took a drive out in the middle of the night where I was into the desert going into Bakersfield. What I saw in the sky, those weren't just a bunch of like lights on a dome. Right. There might even still be a dome. Who knows? Like, we're talking about things on such a huge scale that changes everything we know. You don't have to necessarily get rid of everything that you thought in order to accept what is there. You can actually take some of it over with you, and you're supposed to. That's the whole point of doing research when it comes to conspiracy and theology and all those things and the esoterics. You got to take things, see what makes sense, what you adhere to, bring it along with you, and see if it still maintains. And I feel like too many people are quick to just be like, oh, look at this, oh, look at that, no, it's this, no, it's that. And then they get lost and they just keep spitting out information with no real context. And so everybody's just getting thrown up on, and nobody's waking up outside the fact that they have throw up on them. They don't know what to do with themselves. They want to clean themselves off. They want to know what this is, what's that. But nobody really knows, because when everybody wakes up, the first thing they want to do is go fucking tell everybody. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't tell a fucking soul. Go and verify, and then verify, and then research. Then start talking about it. Because if you don't really know what you're talking about, people are going to be able to just poke all the holes possible, and you're not going to be able to respond to it. That's why people don't like when those who are actually educated in religious texts go after them. They think that the simple problems that they have don't have answers. There are answers. It's just that most people are lazy and they do not research, which is why we can be lied to and held down with fear. And why it's very possible that not only is the government holding things down, not only is it their families that are holding things down, there are likely aliens involved in extraterrestrial politics and things that we wouldn't even think is possible outside of our own movies. And we got to get away from that.
Absolutely. 100. For sure, dude. The fact that the fact alone that they could, NASA. Okay. You know what NASA stands for, right?
No.
Stands for never a straight answer. So when you look at NASA, they are an actual branch of the military. People don't realize that. Okay. So you've got Trump
and created the ocean.
Yeah.
Space Force.
He created the Space Force, which is a conglomerate of the Department of Defense, the Navy, Air Force, whole nine yards. But what they didn't tell you,
20 minutes from the Space Force base, by the way. It's actually crazy. I just learned that the other day. Yeah. Vandenberg. Yeah. Not okay. That far. They changed that to Space Force.
With this episode, maybe you did not want to indulge that information. But
I don't care. Whatever. Everybody go check it out. Vandenberg. It's over by Lompoc, California. It's a big ass base. Huge. Should be cool.
No. Because now they know that you're close. Oh. They're coming for you.
Whatever, bro.
You guys are joking. but what was I saying? NASA with the whole Space Force. They didn't tell you.
NASA and Space Force.
Yeah. So they didn't tell you this, but the most important reason why they created the Space Force is because we are now, for the past almost 2.5 years now, we've been running military exercises on the face of Mars. They've been terraforming on the face of Mars. Elon Musk's, all of his technology, they use in order to shuttle military officials, physicists, environmentalists, whole nine yards, and including their equipment, back and forth from Mars every 63 days. This has been going on for 2.5 years now. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Elon Musk are in cahoots, and they are basically trying to find a way to get all the motherfuckers off the planet. Why? Well, obviously there's, you know, obviously there's something coming that we are preparing for that they've got the jump on, that all of the entertainment industry got the jump on. You know, a lot of these, this is going to sound nuts to you, and I will create a full episode on this one day, but I want to wait a while because I don't want to get myself fucking killed. But there are, let's say, 10 to 15% of the celebrities that you see on TV, you're actually seeing their clones. I know it sounds nuts.
Yeah.
But it's the case.
No, thanks a lot, Stefan. Now you're going to get up.
Not at all.
Not at all.
That sounds like facts, my friend.
Yeah, it is the real
deal. No, it definitely is. There was one of these rappers that went on his social media with his clone.
What?
Once I find the video again, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I saw what you're talking about. It looked very realistic, but they're all talking about this one specific place in Canada, I believe, called Clone 8 or something like that. And it's just very weird and suspect to me that if they had a cloning system going on like that,
you hide it in plain sight, man.
Like, shut them off.
Well,
like,
Microsoft.
That's different, though. Hiding in plain sight doesn't mean talking about it. This is openly talking about, like, yo, go get a clone. No, you don't do that.
Well, Microsoft now has, and they've already come out with it. You can look this up right now. They've got a AI, artificial intelligence system, holds like 200 petabytes of information. They can literally take a skin cell, clone you to exact age, and transfer your consciousness from your body into the new one. They're doing it right now as we speak. They've been doing it for the past year and a half now. Who knows how much longer they've been doing it, but I mean, this is all information that is easily accessible to us, but just people don't realize. So if they've already got this type of technology, that means there had to be some type of beta testing. There had to be some type of research facility, and you know what I mean? So that means that they've at least been doing it for the past 10 to 15 years for them to come out with it now, you know? So, I mean, it all boils down to
To kind of tag on to one of the last episodes we did, we had the Art Bell, the famous Art Bell conversation of the man from Area 51, how he's very frantic on the phone. And I came across that video again afterwards, and there was a bunch of people that actually suggested that it was Bill Gates who was calling in from Area 51. It was a young Bill Gates who had learned about things that were going on. And after that, they killed him and cloned him. And that's why Bill Gates nowadays is not really the Bill Gates that he was. Mm-hmm. He's more of a egotistical fuck. But it's very... I don't want to believe it just because I'd like things to be simpler, but I know better. I just know it's more complicated than is readily available to be seen. The question, though, is what level and what lane of complicated aspects are it? Because there's so many rabbit holes. As soon as you go down one, you realize there's as many cave systems for that as there are on this planet. And you're like, whoa, I didn't know about this. It's easy to get lost. In
the Montauk program. Okay, VPXM.
Yeah, the Montauk program. There was recently talks about that, and they acknowledged. There's Bill Clinton acknowledged those experiments that they did, and like the orphans that they did stuff on. I guess apparently Stranger Things was based off of the like.
Yeah, it was. Shit
they did. There are a lot of movies. Universe,
yeah, they try to desensitize you to the fact, so that way when it becomes
clearly
right.
They've been doing that since the 1990s.
I bought this through the.
They've been doing this since the 1930s, man. You know, trying to desensitize us and try to calibrate and to understand how we're going to react based off, you know, alien invasion, things of that nature. They have no problem whatsoever. See, because you got to understand, it's they're under the Galactic Federation mandates. There has to be disclosure in a perpetual state in our entertainment, in our our movies, TV shows, things of that nature. They have to tell us. So what they do is they subject us to it subliminally and through the slow systematic leak of information. So that way they are
hypnotize us.
Yeah, so they're within the mandates of the Galactic Federation, but yet this is only information for people who are woke as fuck in order for them to understand it, comprehend it, and digest it. And it now actually, this information that we're sharing actually activates parts of our DNA that would be normally dormant if we didn't have this information. So when people say, you know, knowledge is power, it truly means knowledge is power. There's an energy attached to every single word that comes out of our mouth. That's why they dumbed down the English language. That's why they stuck letters in there that are silent, and you know, they misconstrued our language to lessen the spiritual strength of what we say. If you go back to the Arabics, ancient Sanskrit, speaking those words of truth and wisdom actually becomes spells. That's where the word spelling comes from. You're actually creating a spell with your words. So they've dumbed us down, being American with this English language, and now we no longer have the power to compel with energy the words that come out of our mouth. We can't convey information as powerfully as we can. But in all essence, what we do have left is being perpetuated by the information that we share right now.
Now, you said you wanted to talk about it in an episode one day. You don't want to do it now because you don't want to die. But exactly. What do you mean by that?
As in, mean by?
An episode.
Just the whole, when it boils down to the
Well, you have your own podcast, is what I'm getting at, right?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
What is that called?
It's called Wokeish, W-O-K-E, and it's in parentheses is the ish, I-S-H. So it's almost like woke shit, but Wokeish. It's on YouTube, Spotify, and I get into a lot of these things. The first season was just literally just me just screwing around from a little mic in on my camera and on my computer.
Basically like what we're doing right now.
Well, even less than that, because you at least had headphones and shit. I didn't have nothing, dude. I was just right off the hip.
Listen, you know? If you go back into the archives, we started this goddamn live on Facebook Messenger. What? And we were recording off of the speaker. So mm-hmm. We've come a long way.
Absolutely. That's what's up, G. Absolutely.
But at least you have your own website. We ain't got that yet.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, and we're actually getting ready to launch the shop as well. We've got, you know, different t-shirt designs and hats. We're creating a bug out bag right now that has, you know, 6 weeks worth of rations in it.
Well, we're going to need to get one of those to Talon when Space Force finds out all the shit he's talking and that he only lives 20 minutes away from them.
Hey, look, bro, no bullshit. There was a C-130 flying circles around my city the other day. Like, it's whatever. Once you're in California,
they've been following me for 2 years, man. They've been
zombie apocalypse, huh? We did an episode on that. We might have to do a woke-ish break room crossover on this topic.
I'm down. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the right side of the fault line when the time comes. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the central coast right now.
Indeed. Indeed, man. Yeah, there's so much information out there that is now becoming, you know, readily available because, you know, to be honest with you, my attempts of exposing the truths are becoming a lot easier because now their facade is starting to fall apart. They're not able to keep track and keep people smokescreen as well as they used to because of the information sharing. And then people like us that are trying to seek the truth, that are slipping through the cracks, you know, it's a lot harder for them to cover their own ass now. And eventually also, you know, we are opening up or awakening into the age of Aquarius, which means we
Aquarius.
Are so that is the veil being lifted while at the same time these hidden truths are being more pronounced. So it's kind of like a double-sided effect that's allowing us to obtain this type of information and share it on a regular basis. They can't stop that type of perpetuation. It's unfortunate for them, but there's just no way. We are probably 5 to 10 years away from full disclosure. And we are probably 10 to 15 years away from a major cataclysm that's getting ready to take the planet.
I do have to say, being a person who likes to, generally speaking, speak truths and just at least seed the desire for people to want to know more, like, they're like, well, what are you talking about? Because I don't like giving people the information, because if you give it to them, they're just going to throw it away. And there's no reason to give people gold if they're going to throw it away.
Yeah,
but you give them a little bit, that kind of, you know, helps spread, give them awareness. But on these platforms, what we're seeing a lot more, especially over the past year and a half or so, is algorithms that will just delete you. Judge, jury, executioner of your ability to speak. And that's just kind of going unchecked with all the things that are going on. And I really hope it'll hit enough of a head to where people realize we have the right to say what we want to say. And if you don't like it, don't listen. Ignore it.
Yeah.
Have that
don't
type of
fucking
power. You
listen.
Have the right type of
willpower. Ignore it.
Lies, but not to decide not to do something. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. You don't like what
whatever you
say,
do,
that's perfectly fine. That means you don't have to interact with me. You choosing to interact with me when you don't like what I'm saying has nothing to do with me, and I don't have to apologize to you for shit. And we got to make sure that on both ends of speaking the truth, but also standing up for that truth. And there's not a whole lot of people standing up for the truth.
Word.
So
I
can tell
for
yourself that you're definitely doing that, Stefan. I try to do it. We try to do it on the show, and I know people's are out there, but generally speaking, the level of ignorance that's out there and the way that people act, we gotta do more, because eventually we're gonna be shut up, and there's gonna be no finger to point to because it was a machine.
I always tell people that. People ask me, they're always like, how do you feel about, you know, what your mission is, you know, like, you know, you're trying to awaken all these souls on this planet, and they're like, you know, how is that, you know, how is it fair to you? And I'm like, it's like trying to herd fucking cats. That's what it reminds me of. Trying to herd cats is about the equivalent of trying to freaking wake up ignorant, dumbed down people who are on this perpetual hamster wheel, trying to keep up with the Joneses, a $550 car payment, trying to stunt, can't even pay their rent. You know what I mean? That's all they give a shit about is what's going on the Kardashians or Too Hot to Handle. You know what I mean? That's the gist of information that they are able to share. That's the important information to them. And then on top of that, if they want their news, they go to the worst place to possibly go for their news, and that is broadcast television.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
well,
they don't television programming for nothing. I mean, come on.
They definitely don't. If they want to be woke-ish, they need to have a smell of the catnip that you're trying to give this herd, so we can herd these cats around. And we're gonna definitely get there. So, Junkers,
go to
the website. The website that we showed you is called 3RDEYE. WIDE, thirdeyewide.com, right? Go there. Make sure you indulge yourself in all of Stefan's content there. We're going to be sure to try to keep in contact so we can
Absolutely.
Get more information. Maybe have you a guest host, a break room. We have another show on Saturday that gets buck wild. This is the show that you come on and you let us know exactly who you are and what your journey is. And Break Room is where you come and enlighten us.
That's what's up, man. Oh yeah, I'm always down, man. Always. This is my life, man. This is what I do. You know what I mean? Other than my day job, this is my true calling. So I'm happy
and like,
to share this information.
Like you said, there's no mistakes. There's no coincidences.
No mistakes.
Also work in a nursing home. So
Wow.
We'll definitely be in touch. We have a lot of parallels going on. Don't go nowhere.
Okay,
Junkers, we love you. Thank you for tuning in to our first episode back from vacay. We're going to be back in the break room tomorrow night. We're talking about part of the Hollow Earth theory and one of the first explorers to go up to Antarctica. So stay tuned.
Shit on flat Earth tomorrow. That's the kind of stuff that junk on break room. That's what
we do. Yeah, we get our drink and our two-step on, and we just bug the fuck out.
That's what's up.
But we want to thank you for being on, Junkers. Do like I said. Don't be a sheep. Join the herd of cats and take this catnip that Stefan got for you. Go to his content. Eat it all up. VPXM, email me, brother. We're going to be in contact. We're going to stay in contact, all of us, and we're going to blow all of this out of the water as much as we can.
That's what's up.
Until we meet again, everyone, good night.
Take care, guys. Nice.